Welcome inside the Coach's Room, the number one podcast for football coaches that want to develop. Every week we talk to elite coaches and backroom staff to hear about their experiences, how they develop and how they develop their players. This podcast is powered by the Coach's Room, the community where coaches meet each other, where they share knowledge and where they develop together. You can support us in two ways. One, subscribe, like, share, whatever you prefer to help us grow. And you can become a member. The Coach's Room now has a 14-day trial, which means you can have access to all the content, all the live masterclasses, and all the on-demand masterclasses. Go to thecoachesroom.com to start your free trial.
You can only make a decision in terms of individually if there is something bigger that you need to contextualize, so that we need to see why it makes sense that Bobby Firmino is the striker, what it makes sense why Mo is winger, what makes sense why we need Fab or Endo as a six. So this kind of ideas behind only came up because we have macro principles that are quite clear for us. Depends a lot of the individual, of the human being that is there. And that's why we need to know them as well. We need to find how they are, how they react on different situations, what they like, the day life when they are not in the club. So that's what we, and me as well, that's what we need to try to know, to understand. So I think it depends a lot of each one. Some players, technical-wise, unbelievable, but they need to understand a little the role. I always say like this, you are always right for the team that you are. You should always act free, so without acting in an anarchy way. So there is always something that is bigger than you, and that's the team.
In this episode, we talk to Vitor Matos. Vitor is one of the assistants at the first team of Liverpool. Pepijn Lijnders called him the connector, and he also called him the best transfer of the last 4 years of Liverpool. Vitor is responsible for the transition of young talents to the first team, and this is a major part of the identity of Liverpool. In this episode, we talked about developing young players, what is the importance of having a very clear identity as a club, and how working on elite level shapes the development of Vitor every day. Realize that Liverpool and also Vitor are working in a crazy schedule of 2 matches a week. We talked to Vitor on the day after they played the second leg against Inter, literally the morning after. So Vitor is in his own office, so literally the coach's room of Liverpool, which results in that the quality of the sound sometimes is a little bit scratchy. But the story and the things that he are sharing are very, very valuable. So without any further ado, enjoy this episode with Vitor Matos. Vitor, welcome inside the coach's room.
Hello, pleasure.
It's good to have you. Well, actually, we are in your coach's room.
Yeah, that's true. First of all, thank you for the invitation. And thank you as well to João Tralhão for the challenging sentence that he said on this podcast. So quite happy to be here. Hope everyone enjoy the conversation, especially both of us that are here.
Yeah.
And yes, let's start it.
Okay, great. Yeah. Yes. Wow. Gave the assist and we are here to score. Exactly like that. Yeah. But no, like you said before we press record, you are literally in your own office.
Yeah.
Like I can see some text on the back. What does it
say?
Yeah.
So that is one of the most important things that we have here.
Okay.
So it says our identity is intensity.
Yeah.
So it's something that we really believe on it, and was come. It has come up from Pepijn. So you know him. for yeah. sure. So that's a sentence that he said, and Jurgen used it a lot. And I think quite defines us as well as a team and our game model. So just a problem here. So we have this in our office, just always to remind us what is important for us as well.
Yeah. So our identity is intensity.
Yeah, exactly.
And if I would have asked you, okay, what's the most important item, you would have said, okay, this is the most important.
Yeah, for sure. We have this one, and we have another one here that it says together strong. So I think resume as well the spirit that we have here on the coaches staff. We are here three goalkeeper coaches, and then Pep as assistant manager, Peter Kravitz as well as an assistant, me, and then Andreas Kornmeier as the fitness coach. So we are a lot in this office. It's really about sharing and a common goal as well from us, that is about develop the team, develop the players, and always going for the next step. Of course, that everything ends up with the manager, but that's how we work, and that's how we like to feel. So with a common goal, with a proper team behind the team, let me say like that.
Yeah, okay.
So just to say, the most important item, I think, despite these two wonderful sentences, are the coffee machine that we have here as well. So
a couple of days before we did a podcast with Joe Montemuro, coach of Juventus women, he said the coffee machine. We did a podcast with Renee Slegers, who is a women's coach as well. She's a coach of Swedish champions. He said, okay, coffee machine, because that's where the talks are. We had the coach from Germany, U21s.
Yeah.
Coffee machine. So I'm not going to ask this question anymore. Everybody just says coffee machine.
It's quite important, I believe.
Is it football that because of the coffee or because what happens there?
No. For example, I believe in some places, and I had that before in other clubs, the coffee machine is something shared for all the staff. So I believe it's also about the conversation that we have with different departments that can be there as well. We have it one in our office that we cannot move too much. But yeah, for us, it's like a boost that we sometimes need, and we know all about the coffee as well. But I have something to show you as well. Yeah. And this is also a very important item.
Ah, nice. Padel.
So this is how we sometimes kill a little our time in here, and how we relax, and as well when we sometimes the best ideas come up when you are playing something or enjoying something. So I will say this is our most important item.
So the coffee machine maybe is pretty clear. That's where, when you're all grown people, we could use some coffee in the morning after a short night. So that's one. Two is the way that you talk to each other there, informal, relaxed, but also probably honest and a little bit out of character, maybe more safe. Honest.
I think that's quite important when we have a staff, because I think a lot of ideas come up from sharing and come up from discussion. And when we are speaking about human beings and the complexity around the human beings, and especially when we speak about football, that is 11 on the pitch, how they relate each other, how they interact with each other. I think there is a lot that we can discuss and a lot to take care. And that's why it's important that we have this kind of spirit, and I really love it. So when I arrived, there was already Pep and Pete here, John and Jack, goalkeeper coach, Andreas Kornmeier as well. Then came up. So then I came here. Tafarel came as well. So the group was already established, but was always open for me as well, to receive me and to share from the first moment. And the one thing that when I come from outside, so I came here 3 years ago. So you have one idea about what is Liverpool, what is the club, the manager, the staff. But the first thing, there is two things when I arrive that really come to you. One is the professionalism, the quality, and the high level of the staff in all departments. And that's not easy to have, because we have so many people specialized in something and with a knowledge so deep about something in all departments. That's really unbelievable. And the second thing that I felt straight on was, is an unbelievable big club, but in a familiar way. Okay. So that means that you feel for the other one that is with you. So this kind of relationship is outstanding. So, and I really believe with this come a lot as well. And I think the main person behind this is Jurgen, because the way he is and the way he deals with us just bring the best of us as well. So,
understand. So you came from Porto, which is also already elite club in Europe, which has a high standard. What was so different that you realized, okay, this is maybe even a bigger step or even next level high performance? Yeah, what was the main difference there?
No, so when I was in Porto, so going back a little more, so I was in the academy for 5 years in a row. Yeah. On the academy, I was head coach from different age groups. That's where I met Pep, Pepine. Mm-hmm. I was assistant coach. I was analyst. So I had different roles in the academy, but all of them on the same moment. So I was, for example, assistant coach of the under 70, head coach of the under 14, and analyst of the second team. And what I enjoyed and what I had that really helped me in my development was I had a complete view around the all departments related in football for developed players. So I was able to see a player with 14, 13, 10 years old, and then see how is the level on that moment on the under 17s or under 19s. And as well, because I was there for a period of time, seeing this develop for a period, for a cycle, let me say like that. So that was really, really good on my development. Then, just to answer your question, then I went to China. We can go there later.
Yeah, sure.
Then returned to Porto, and I went to the second team as an assistant coach. So that was the level I was on the second team. Is a really, really good environment, because you, similar to Ajax, PSV, and what happened in Holland. So you have the B team competing on the second league.
Second level, yeah.
So it's really, really good for development. It's really, really good in terms of competitiveness. So because you compete already with senior players, a lot with the first league level, internationals as well, playing on the second league. So this is a really nice place to develop. And is always challenging, because you have a younger team, sometimes with no much experience. You will play on the way the club thinks is the best way to develop still. So that means the development is the main thing. But because you are in a professional league, you always need to take care, of course, about the result. But that's part of the learning process as well, I believe. So it's a really top environment to develop, and I really enjoy it. So I was there 1 year, and that's when I came after that to Liverpool.
Yeah. So I'm not saying that Porto is not top level, because Porto is also top level. But I can imagine that Liverpool is a step further. And
It was a step further, because as well was the second team in Porto that I was, and in Liverpool I joined the first team and the second team. So creating and relating a relationship between these two, let me say, worlds. And that's what you feel straight on. And as well, in terms of world dimension, is completely different level as well. But I really believe, and I know that from Pep as well, that Porto is an unbelievable school in terms of development for coaches and for players. So it's high level.
Yeah, okay, understand. So, and so now you are, well, you've been all through all these phases of development as a coach. Well, you've seen different levels, like you said, U10s, 14s, different roles. And, well, now they call you the connector, which is, which I read somewhere. I don't know what the story, but it's pretty logical. If you look at your role, you're connecting, let's say, if I can point it out, well, if I'm saying it right, the youth academy with the first team and the transition of players. So it's performing, but mainly focusing, developing players, developing the players to be ready for that ultimate level.
So the connector part was something that I believe was Pep who said in a press conference, and then it popped up.
It's one of the first things you find when you Google it. It's like this is good. This guy's
called the connector. Was really cool. So and that came from the relation, from the idea that when we are speaking about these transitional players who are between the first team and the second team, I believe there should be, a multidisciplinary approach. Yeah. I don't know if it's clear. So you need to relate a lot of departments around the individually, around the individual. You need to connect them because you need to have this common approach that everyone understands what is the next step for the player, what is the next step in terms of short term for him, medium, and on long term as well. So if we see him on the short term already be able to perform with the first team, be only on the training. If we see him or someone that in the end could be on loan, in the end could be on the squad on next season. So this should be something that should be common as well. And as well that we know what strengths he has that we need to keep developing and what we need to restructure again for him to use better his strengths and find a way to, with time, refine his weaknesses. So with that, you have nutrition department, fitness department, education, fitness department, technical staff, the academy staff, all the academy staff, coaches, assistant coach, analysts, and the first team. So, and my idea on the beginning was how we can relate all of these departments on this goal. That's why it came the connector.
Yeah. So you connect almost all these disciplines and the qualities of the player and his development project.
Yeah. In a way that each department are still able to be completely independent of what they need to do, but that we know, or for example, me, as a macro vision around all the process. In that way, for example, I believe always that in terms of a team or in terms of a player, we should look at the development as, I like this analogy, as a watch, because we have different little wheels, and with time, there is one that is more important or not, but you always use all of them. So it's a little like this. So we know that for some player, it's quite important that we focus on just something around his life. So we have, for example, players here, they come from a part of England that is far away or from abroad, and they go for house parenting. Or, for example, with the Sepp van der Berg, he was already with eating, so he preferred to stay on his own. So we need to have, we have a department that take care of this life, let me say, lifestyle, and how they should be settled in the UK. So it's quite important, depending of the time or when he arrives or if something goes around, that this department takes care of it. So, for example, I visited one of the houses to see as well how it was. So I think when all the departments have a common goal and have an identity to move forward, it's always easy to relate them. And that's what I try in the beginning when I arrive here. It's completely fluid now. A big part of my role is related with that. Also related with the relationship between the game idea of the first team and the second team. That the second team needs to perform according to our major principles. The training methodology needs to be exactly the same. So I'm in charge of that. So this relationship, because let me give this example. For example, if we have a player that is on the second team and train with the first team on that week, and he did, for example, a -3 session with the first team, but the second team game is on the next day and was probably the most similar session to a game on the first team. So we need to make sure, one, that is the right timing for him to come to the first team. Second, if he's more important that on that moment he trains with the first team or plays on the second team. So that's the something that we really need to think individually about the player. So that's where I come on this kind of role as well.
Yeah. So you connect all the interests to the, well, all the departments, teams, whatever, to the interest of the development path of the player.
Yeah, exactly. Like that.
Okay. Okay. Very interesting role. So when you first started, I can imagine, okay, you had this overview of different aspects in developing a player, because you had several roles, like you said, specifically in, at Porto, and now you become, let's say, the leading coach in these mm-hmm. pathways. What was the thing that you encountered when you started this role? Okay, you come into this club. I can imagine they expect you to have an overview pretty fast, because this is why you are hired.
Yeah.
And how did you approach this? Okay, sit down, all the departments. What do we have here? How can everybody have everybody aligned? And this is my ideas. How was that process for you?
Yeah. I think everything becomes much more easier when the club has a real identity, like we have. So it's quite clear how the first team plays. It's quite clear how our game model is in the first team. So that's the starting point. First team values, game model of the first team, because it's something that is already consistent for a period of time, and the club wants to make it consistent. So that means that's the common goal for everyone. So that's the starting point, how the first team plays, which kind of player this game style develops, and which kind of player this game style in the end will require to be perform at its highest level. That's where we should be focused and look to the profile of the players as well that we have, in terms of position, in terms of role, bringing all the departments on that. It's quite easy when the first team has a high level of staff around, because you can connect the academy departments with the first team departments and make it like, okay, how it works in the first team, how it want to work with a 16 years old. That is a completely different maturation, brain development, body development. So how we can relate it. So that how it was in the beginning. It took a little of time because it's normal. But in the end, I think it's working really good, and we can see a lot of these young ones knocking on the door as well. So.
Yeah, that is great. The identity is then the foundation, not only of your work, but of everybody's work.
Yeah, I believe yes, because that was supports the values of the club as well. So you can only make a decision in terms of individually if there is something bigger that you need to contextualize in.
Yeah.
So that we need to see why it makes sense that Bobby Firmino is the striker, what it makes sense why Mo is winger, what makes sense why we need Fab or Endo as a six. So this kind of ideas behind only came up because we have a macro principle that are quite clear for us. And that's how in the end you make the decisions as well in terms of individually. So which player should be on the right triangle or on the left, or which player should be the three on front with the relationship with the fullback. So that's how in the end you make it up.
Yeah.
And as well in terms of development, of course.
Yeah, it makes it, if I think about, I think about it while you were saying it, get the identity and connecting it with the first team formation or players or starting 11, whatever, is clear. But then it's also very clear for a player what he needs to go through or where he needs to be
if he wants to be in the
first team. And then for the surrounding, it makes it very clear how to help him get there.
Yeah. So and with that, what comes really good, and one thing that we do as well that is for me quite important is that there is always space on the squad for the academy players to be in, and there is always space in training for these academy players to be in, and that speeds up the process quite a lot because one, they train here in an environment with top players. So they see it, they are with them, they have major role models like Virgil, Endo, Milner, Mo, Sadio, so all of them, and Alisson as well. So we thank a lot to have all of them like proper role models. They are unbelievable professionals, and that helps a lot. So when a young player with 17, 16 years old comes to the first team, he has this standard already. So he knows how in the first team is. He knows how a first team player behave because there is so much good role models for him. And that's what we're trying. So that's, I believe, is the starting of a culture of a club.
Yeah.
Because if you do this consistent in time, you will end up with a culture that is the way Liverpool is, let me say like that.
Yeah, very, very clear. And how is that? How was that for you? What was your personal most important learning experience from those last year? Coming into a club where everything is so pretty much very clear. That's what I'm hearing. What did you learn from those last 3 years?
I think on this kind of situations in the beginning, the most important thing you need to do is listen. More than everything is listen and try to understand and get to you all much more information you can have. That's what I tried in terms of game idea, how the manager percepts the individual, how the staff see as well the individual, how is the process of building the team. So that's where I, in the beginning, really tried to understand it. When I arrived, I really had, because I think it's quite important on my role that you know all the players in the academy. You don't need to know, of course, the under-10s or the under-12s. In the same way, you need to know the under-23s or the under-18s, but you need to know as much as possible. So one of the things that I tried as well was to know every name of every player of the second team, every name and every player of the under-18s. Starting to know as well the under 16. So this was my goal, watching trainings, watching games, be around as much as possible, and that everything comes with time. So it was a quite smooth transition, but with a lot to take as well.
Yeah, so can imagine that you invested, let's say, those first 6 months in talking to players.
Yeah.
And just, okay, I'm not saying that you were on the background, but you realized, okay, I need to gain as much information if I want to do this right in the long term.
Yeah. And one thing that quite helps, or a lot of things help, but One was the organization of the club. That is really good already. So it helps with everything, with information. If you ask something, it will come. The speed of the things that come to you as well. And another thing that helped was that Pepijn was in my role a few years before. So that means that they already understand what will my role will be. So it was quite easy for everyone to adapt on me as well. So,
yeah, it's not a normal role in every club. I've heard we had a guy from FC Copenhagen who had exactly the same role mm-hmm. as you, but he was connected to the U19. So he was on the other side, also kind of already bringing the players, and you were maybe a little bit pulling the players. It's a little bit of a metaphor. Yeah. I think I know what I mean. It's not a standard role at any club.
No. And one thing that is not, because is a role that, let me say like this, and against me, you could have some member of your staff that does it. But I think that only comes if the club has already a strong culture, a strong identity, and a staff that is on the club for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And that means as well the technical director of the academy director, the coach director, whatever. And what I like that works quite well with us is because I'm the member of the first team, I have the vision from up down. So I know what is the level that we need in the first team all every day and every hour. And I need, so I can really balance, for example, what I always find out when I was in the academy was you get used to the level you see for a period of time.
Yeah.
And what we have here, or what I have here, is that because I see these top players every day, I can really, when I go down, for example, to the second team, to the U18s, I can have a better view of what should be the developed on the short term. Of course, on the medium or long, we never know where it goes, because in the end, we need always to adjust something or not. It depends on the individually. But you can have a view that, okay, let's try to push more on this. Let's bring him on this position. Let's expose him as center half playing as a six. Let's expose Haidt playing as a winger. Let's try different things, because in the end, that will make him develop this. So I think that was one thing that is quite important, and everything that relies on it. And I think that is a major thing, is that we want to have players from the academy on the first team. We want to play. You can have them in the world, but if the first team doesn't want players from the academy, you will not have it. You can have the worst academy in the world in terms of organization, in terms of development, but if the first team wants, they can always pull one or two players that there is there with talent. So I think in the end relies on this. But I believe as much as a club identity is organized and clear, as better you can have this process, and smoother as well, because we know that is not easy, especially nowadays where everything is so fast for these young players with the social media, the information that they receive, the judgment that they receive, the heaviness on the shoulders in terms of sponsors and these kind of things is so massive that a lot, they need a lot of support. And it's not easy as well when they come, they play, and then they stop playing. When they come, they play, and then they drop team, and they stay for a period of time. So it's not easy. And if you try to make it smooth as possible, I think is the best way to do it. And when I mean smooth, is not that we don't demand effort, or we don't demand quality, or we don't demand the professionalism of them. No, we demand all of that. It's not possible. And they know as well, the young players, they know that is without effort, without commitment, without professionalism, it's not possible to come to the first team. So that is quite clear. What I mean by smooth is that the game idea, they understand it, they they have already that inside of their body. The training methodology is similar, so the risk of injury is less, and they are more adaptable as well when they come to us. And they have a clear individual pathway for them on their mind. So that makes everything smoother as well. So
yeah. Okay. That whole trajectory is pretty clear, and that you're already influencing the way the teams below you play, because that makes it easier to connect.
Yeah.
And at one point, okay, you have this youngster, 17, 18, 19 years old. Okay. You hear from this coach, he's doing very well. You've seen him a couple of times. Okay, whatever his name, Joey, now it's your time. And then they have to walk up to that first team pitch for the first time. What is your role in that at that moment, or how does that go?
Yeah. So with what we try is that, and because that is quite important, so one thing that I create and was already with Pep as well, then we stopped it for a time, but then I bring it up again, was we do a training group. So this training group is a group of players that the club believes they have talent. Is as well, how I say, players that we believe that they have something special, but probably they will need more time. So it's a group that me, Pepa, and the academy director, and of course the manager, select. This group of players train with the first team staff and with the second team coach as member of the staff who is leading the training. Is me and Pep who leads this training with the manager watching it. So we have this group of players that train on this organization for a period of time. Yeah. So this makes them already.
They already come integrate. In sight of the yeah. first team manager. They exactly. are already going to exactly. a more mature environment.
Yeah.
So they know deal the staff. With you, with the buying, yeah. which is a little bit more pressure.
Yeah.
Maybe there with are some the fitness. Older players.
Yeah. So everything is like, how I say it, is like a mini first team environment yeah. straight on. So that this is one thing. And I believe that quite helps when they come for the first time, because they see me already. They see Pep already. They see the fitness coach already. They see the manager that is there watching as well. So there is a close relationship already. So that's
what,
one.
What age does it start? 15, 16? No,
we choose is something that is independent of the age.
Okay.
And is independent of the positions as well. So we can end up with three strikers. We can end up with no striker. And it's something that is volatile with time. Yeah, so we can adapt and choose. Let me say, if I need to make a range in terms of ages, I would say that was already between even 16 and 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say like that. So this is one major part. The second one is that in a lot of periods of the season, we use a quite big group of players from the academy to train with the first team. So this is something that happens quite consistent. And on the preseason, we bring as well a lot with us. So that makes everything smooth. But sometimes, sure. of course, it happens that a player comes on the first time with the first team. And that's where I believe, the second team coach does an incredible job, because he needs first to speak with the player. So he needs to put everything calm. Then it comes to us, and that relies on us and on Jurgen, because it's such a natural thing for Jurgen to call a young player, and he's such a natural leader with them that it puts them completely calm and to rely on themselves.
Creates a comfort
well.
Zone almost.
Yeah.
Well, it is uncomfortable, but still it creates a safe zone.
Yeah, exactly. So because one thing that they need to... And that's quite good on the club, because they need to respect the senior players out of the pitch. but on they are on the pitch this moment that they need to perform and show as well. But they don't need to prove nothing. They just need to play, because if they are there, it's because it's already something that was behind that we
something.
Like it.
Yeah.
So they need to have this feeling. They need to have this support, of course. And what is quite good is that we don't call a player for one time. We call it consistent. So they know when this starts, it will start for a period of time as well, because that happens a lot. But I don't believe that's development that we see a first team.
Just does
the debut and then it's done and go again.
Interesting. And because you do this on a regular basis, it's part of the culture. So also the big players or the older players know, okay, this is part of the organization that I'm working with.
And they have a massive, massive role on this, because I always believe that a feedback from me is important, but a feedback from James Milner or Jordan Henderson is much, much more important for them. So, and that's, I believe it's quite interesting in here. And I believe that's why we are doing the best as we can for these young players as well.
To take that Copenhagen example again, if I am correct, they made, let's say, partners in this. Okay, they would say, this young player is coming up, and that player, the more experienced player, would be a couple with him during that day. So he would show him around. This is your place. This is where you take your kid. Or I don't know exactly how it's situated with you, and I don't know how it was situated, but they make this connection, which makes it even smoother. They can always. But they are much more closer in the environment than also you in this case,
Yeah, what we have is we have the first team and the second team in the same building. So there is a lot of spaces that are already connected. So we choose which spaces are related for them. And as well, I believe that always came up from, I believe the best groups of first team players have that as well naturally. And when we have that, you don't need to force it. Let me say like that. So you have unbelievable captains in the team, and they do an unbelievable job with young ones as well. So I leave that for them. Let me say like that.
Yeah, I'm not saying it is, but it almost feels like your job is made relatively easy because of the organization and the context that is created.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And that comes a lot from the manager, I believe.
Yeah. What is something that, to put it back to you again a little bit, because we're talking about the context that you are working in, but what is, again, in that process, the thing that you learned, okay, that is the most important in that transition? What is the most important element? Is it the football part, which you said is very good organized, or is it the personal part, or is it maybe your role that you are helping?
I think it depends a lot of the individual, of the human being that is there. So we need to find, and that's why we need to know them as well. We need to find them. We need to find how they are, how they react on different situations, what they like, how is the day life when they are not in the club. So that's what we, and me as well, that's what we need to try to know when they are open it for it, because there are players that as well are more introverted and don't like to, but that's a part of as well that then in the end you need to understand. So I think it depends a lot of each one. Some players let me say like this, so some players technical wise unbelievable, but they need to understand a little the role in the, so I always say like this, you are always right for the team that you are, and you should always act free without acting freely, that's the right word, I don't know, so without acting in an anarchy way. So there is always something that is bigger than you, and that's the team. So there is players that they need to understand this, and they understand this by different things. Could be from something from their life, could be for something from the tactical perspective as well. So I think it depends a lot and relies a lot of in each individually and how they are in the moment and what we see for them in the future as well.
Yeah, so this is a tailor-made process. It's not a standard process.
Yeah, exactly.
And how do you... let's put it the other way. This means you have to get to know the players in their the way that, well, like you just said, like in the way that they behave, what there are their preferences or what are their pitfalls or whatever.
Yeah.
Is this something you think you can learn as a coach, or does it has to be something that you kind of have naturally? Because we would say in a different point.
I think you can. You can be as a coach as you are, so you cannot even create a relationship if you want. But I believe it's easier, especially in my role, if you are able to create this relationship with the player, because you win and you gain much more that in the end will end up helping him individually and helping the team. So it's something that in the end relies on my character or personality, but I believe it's much more easier because I create a relationship with the player. So when he has a problem, probably will come to me. But like I say, it doesn't mean that it's the right way, because you can be without this relationship and you find a different strategy to end up with the same thing. It's just, in my view, it's easier like this.
Yeah. Yeah. But where I was going was also, you see now, and probably Jurgen Klopp is the biggest example of this, that the top coaches or a good coach on whatever level has a form of charisma or empathy that you almost cannot teach. They are so natural, but they have the right traits to be a leader.
Yeah.
And it's interesting also for coaches to listen. And that's also the connection with your work. You can be technically the best connector, let's call it like that. But if there is no natural connection, it's very hard for players to feel safe. It almost feel too technical or a little bit of fake. So
I think it is something that could come quicker with time or not. So if you have this relationship, open relationship could come quicker or not. But I think, for example, in terms of leadership, you can always be have a leadership that is formal that you don't want, because it's just a leadership that in the end is because it says you are the manager and he's the player. So you don't want this kind of leadership. And then you can have a leadership that is related with your technical qualities or as well with your personality. And when you have both together, I think it makes everything easier, because the players are as well smart and they understand that you have the knowledge for help them as well. And at the same time, you have the personality that could rely on them or on you. So I think...
you're right. I think it makes it easier, because if you are, let's say it's an example, but if you are a coach that is technically literally the best out there, and in your personal relationship, you lack a little, but if you prove over and over and over,
for example,
that you make the right decisions, people will start to realize and follow.
Exactly. Anyway.
But the process is a little bit slower. That's what I'm hearing. Yeah.
Yeah. For your role, it could be one or the other. That's what I'm trying to say. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, in the ideal world, you are the perfect father, and you are also the perfect tactical guy. And this is what we all strive.
But never the perfect husband. That's as well.
Well, that's, as a coach, you cannot be. we discussed it earlier. That's the hard part. Yeah, because how is this for you? Because you are the first time we called, you just won the League Cup, and won. It was the day after. Now, when we do this, it's the day after the second match against Inter, which a lot of coaches dream of. I can imagine you are in a crazy schedule. There's always one priority, and that is the team, the performance, the club, whatever. How do you find time, one, maybe for having a life, if that's there, if it's even important. But second, also, because you're always in this, this let's say pressure of time or structure, where do you find the time to develop yourself and to evaluate the things that you're doing?
Yeah. One thing that I tried already for a long period of time, I will say years, is to create a routine for me, but never worked.
Okay.
so I take okay. that out already.
Yes, to that as well.
Yeah. But one thing that I always try is that because it's hard, and I believe that when you do something that you really love and you have really passion, you don't disconnect because you like it. But what I try, and because I always have this in my mind, is when I have with my children or at home, I try to be 100% with them. So that's, I believe, in the end helps me a lot, because it creates a little of disconnection, and as well is a moment that is not rest, is impossible.
No, but it's hard work.
Yeah, it's hard work. But in the end, is, I always believe, if you give some little, they give you so much. That's unbelievable. So, and in terms of development, it's hard. I will say, if we are looking for to take a course or reading or whatever, you always find small moments of it, especially on travels. Let me say like that. Yeah. But what I like of being here is that the quality of the staff is so big that for sharing and for having the daily basis of a training and game and training game, you earn so much. And the level of the competitions on the Premier League, on the Champions League, is so high that you always need to be on top of you. So it is always a challenging as well, that you are always winning. So let me say that is the best place to be in terms of development, even if you are completely on the situations. So
yeah. So every day you're taking these... Well, yeah. Maybe it's not even
masterclass.
Yeah, so every day is a learning environment, and maybe when you will look back on this time period, you could say, "Okay, my development went so fast, and now you're in the middle of it, so you maybe don't really see."
No, it's as well. How I say, it's as well a learning process because you think about what you do, and because you reflect if it was right or not, because you think what we can improve.
Yeah.
So, because you have this kind of mental process, this kind of thinking, you develop. Because we can do exactly the same and don't give a shit, let me say like that. So, I think you develop because you need to have this kind of process. If you have that, I think it's unbelievable. Really.
What was an example of the, maybe a thing that you can share, that you were at the coffee machine with the staff or yourself? I think, okay, this is time to change this and this. Do you have an example of something that you evaluated or changed lately?
Now it's always something that we try to better. I think I don't have a straight on example of it because there are so many that in the end I end up forgetting. But yeah. We playing, for example, against Inter, the things you need to think before the match are challenging as well. They are unbelievable team. They build from the back with the goalie with different kind of ideas. They have a variability on the way they build with the three center halves, with the dropping six, or with the
Brozovic, very dominant.
On that space. De Vrij moving as well, or one side or forward as well. The width giving from the both wing backs, so they have just consistency and as well variability on the way they play offensively, and as well they have a proper setup for goalkeeper pressing against us. They have a much more man oriented pressing that is quite hard to break as well. So is a top team, you need to think about everything. So it's always end up with the manager, like I said, and with Pep. And you just try to support them as best as you can. So
it's cool to see how you shifted, like in this moment, because the first, let's say, 50 minutes was about people and relationship and organizational structure. And now, okay, pop, we go football, and you go straight away in all the details of Inter, which is also, we didn't really talk about that part, but that's also a major part in your daily role, of course, thinking about solutions, beating the opponent.
Yeah.
You are constantly moving between, okay, bringing up players and we have to win next game.
Yeah. That's why I said it's unbelievable. And I'm really lucky with this, of being in this role, because it's, I cannot ask for something better right now. So
any other role that would shift to one side or the other side would be boring for you almost. No, the joking. It's too easy. I only have to think. Thinking Dublin player. No.
It's been really good. These 3 years that since I'm here is being really, really outstanding, let me say.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing. Okay. Is there something in that last, let's say, months of traveling, or maybe having 5 minutes for yourself, that you read or saw that you saw, okay, this I would really recommend?
So I am a quite big fan of Antonio Damasio. I don't know if you know him. He's a neuroscientist, a Portuguese neuroscientist. I really like especially how he writes, because he writes about, the last one was feeling and knowing. So it was about consciousness. About mind. So I really like how he writes, because it's quite easy to understand as well, but with quite scientific part. And he's unbelievable. There is a lot of books of him. The last one that was last book that I read properly, and I think was, yeah, that's the one I finished. But this is what I was saying. So I start listening podcasts as well. I just Google it, podcasts of him on the Apple phone. Yeah. So and then they pop up a lot. So just starting listening. So there is a lot. So I like, hope I will not be the only one for sure. Well, but it's quite related with the neuroscientists. So
yeah. And the way that you describe it for me, okay, this is the impression that you guys are giving me of Portuguese coaches, that they are looking football almost more in a scientific way, and they really study the game. This is really something I noticed, which is different than, I don't know if it's different than, but it's really noticing, okay, a Portuguese coach, they're almost like these scientists, and this is, well, this gives you, this states the stereotype again.
It comes a little bit of our development as coaches in Portugal, in terms of the universities and the UEFA or the Federation, Portuguese FA courses as well. This kind of background, I believe. And a lot of that is, it's true. It's a lot of related with Portuguese coaches. I think in the end, ends up how better you could understand the human being. For example, in my development, I was playing in a lower level. So I play until I was 19, I believe. But I was already with 17, because it was the time as well when Mourinho won with Porto Champions League, UEFA Cup. So I was completely, focused on trying to be a manager.
Yeah.
So when I was 18, I went to take straight on the Portuguese FA course. Then I did straight on as well the UEFA B course. So then I went to study university, went to Erasmus program on Holland.
Yeah. Where did you go?
I think the name of the school is Hoogeschool van Amsterdam.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
Hoogeschool.
Exactly. Oh. Sorry about the accent.
You were pretty close.
Yeah. So it was physical education, pure physical education. It was cool. But when I returned to the club, so on that time, I had already the UEFA B budget, let me say like that. So when I returned to the club to play, I asked, can I come again to play? But they just appointed a head, a coach, a manager, and he hadn't an assistant. So he was my coach 3 years ago on the academy. And he asked me, Victor, I know you always wanted to be a coach. You want to be my assistant manager. So I started with 1920 as an assistant manager of the senior team. Yeah. We were on the fifth Portuguese division. So it was unbelievable. It was really, really, for me, it was unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable. And then I stayed as on the next year as the under-19 coach of that club. It was an unbelievable experience. What I fought more to have was players on the weekend to play. That was my biggest.
Important to learn how these things go. That you
unbelievable.
Nothing is unbelievable. Itself. Yeah, yeah.
But what I want to say was this happened on the same moment that I was on the university. So it was always good because I was always able to learn on the moment and try to do it. So it was quite like a proper internship. So it was really good. In the end, I went to another club and then Porto and then China, Porto and then Liverpool. But this background, I think it comes a lot because even the former players in Portugal, they try to go for a university or they try to have a good, really good background in terms of understanding the human being, understand the game, understanding the player. And I think that was quite important on that as well.
Yeah, I think it's very valuable. Both, let's say, on, that's like you said, the human side, physical side, but there's almost every Portuguese coach I've talked to knows their game model inside out. They know all the details, so they can also almost rely football-wise on their own library, which also gives you more time and energy to focus on the parts around it because it's so stated in your... I don't know if that is possible, like I'm saying it, but... It's so installed the way you want to play, you can focus your energy on the rest. And you also see a lot of coaches that just start and then first have to learn how their game model is or how their identity is as a coach or whatever. So they don't have the time to focus on these extra ones.
Yeah.
So they're just as important, but on other parts, they're mainly focusing with football. Yeah.
I think around 15 years ago, there was a big, big boom of really try to understanding the game in Portugal, really trying to. So you were praised for being someone who really know about your game idea, who really know about the game that is happening. So that was, in the end, how we push it up everyone with the tacticalization. So I think it was a big, big thing in Portugal that helped the development of the coaches, I believe.
Yeah. We said, okay, let's try to keep this within an hour. We're not succeeding. But that's good. No, but it's great how you give an insight in your role and in one of the best contexts of the world that you share. Okay, this is how our process is going. I love the way that you're giving an insight in this. But we're going to finalize it, or we're going to end this. And we're going to end this with the last question. And before the question, let's just do the question. Who should we talk to next?
Okay, so I have two people to say to you. Both are assistant managers, Portuguese. So one is Sérgio Ferreira, so he's assistant of Braga. So he's working with Carlos Carvalhal. He had a similar development with me. He's my friend. went to Porto Academy as well, but then he stepped up to go to Braga. So professional team is there since Carvalhal is there. So he had the offer to go with him.
Yeah.
He could give you as well, I think, an unbelievable view about the development of players and how is the measuring in the Portuguese league.
Yeah.
And then I have another person that is assistant manager as well, but as well, I will say, responsible for the part of the opposition analysis. So he has this role on the staff that is João Brandão. He's working with Luis Castro in Qatar. They were on Shakhtar Donetsk before. And then, so Luis Castro was my academy director when I was in Porto. He was, it was unbelievable time that we had in there in terms of developing players as well. So João was as well there with him. Then João worked in the Portuguese league with another manager, Pedro Manuel. They won the Portuguese Cup. So he has a lot of experience. He was manager, assistant, and now they are in Qatar. So he can give you a complete overview, I believe, as well in terms of first league, professional leagues, and different countries, which I think is always rich to have.
Yeah, I kind of followed that story from the group of Portuguese coaches that went from Shakhtar now to Qatar.
Some
of those guys put some things on socials, so it's easy to follow. But it would be
great. It's João and Vitor Severino. So I can I can give you both. I think both are really, really good. So you can add another name in there.
Well, this is the problem with this, because every coach gives me three names. So it's not, I go to one, ask, I know, branch it out.
It's not easy to choose. I was thinking, okay, what could be, but I think in the end, it's always grateful to speak about football. So that's something like.
This is great. And it's, for me, it's interesting to hear all these stories and find the learning from their journey. And bring it to life for other coaches as well. It's exactly the same that you did today.
Yeah, thank you. Hope it was a good hour that you had as well.
Well, I really enjoyed it. And it's very, I like the story that we literally go from, your chair and the things that are behind on your wall to move it all the way to the pathway from to developing players, etc.
You can say hi.
Oh, we can talk Dutch if we want.
Okay. Coisa do...
Coaches?
Yeah.
Já?
Yeah.
Nah, good luck.
You see, the pine line is bringing the coffee.
Yeah, you see? That's how important the coffee is.
Yeah, that's how we started.
Yeah, very.
Good. Yeah, great.
Wait, I
that's my job, to bring coffee for Victor.
Well, you started with the importance of the coffee machine, so that's exactly right.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, well, this is a great way to finish and to have the complete circle from coffee to coffee.
Ah, brilliant.
Okay,
hope Peter, you enjoy it, and everyone as well.
Yeah, thank you very much, and we'll keep in touch for sure.
Yeah, okay, top.
Thank you.
See you. Bye.
If you like this episode, share it with your colleagues, share it with friends, share it on social media, like, subscribe, do whatever you do best and help us grow. Because the bigger we are as a podcast, the bigger and the more inspirational names we can invite to inspire you. And do not forget to pick up your 14-day free trial at thecoachesroom.com. With your free trial, you have access to all our masterclasses, both the live ones and the on-demand ones. Coaches from top European academies share their knowledge and you can watch it. So go to thecoachesroom.com and pick up your 14-day free trial.